Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 814 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
What's up, dude? Good morning.
Good morning. So let's go ahead and address right off the top. Danny is not with us, and Danny will not be on the podcast most likely until sometime in 2019. He has personal issues that he's going through right now. And we love him. We're here to support him. And until he returns, we're going to hold down the fort. So I don't know, Pete, if there was anything you wanted to say before we move forward.
No, that addresses it exactly the way we should be. I don't want to put his personal business out there, but this is a team effort. We will do whatever it is we need to do to support Danny and whatever he's doing, as well as each other. We're always going to stand each other up whenever we can. So as far as that goes, you know, we love you, Danny, and we'll be here when you get back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, it'll be Pete and I for the next few weeks for the foreseeable future. But Danny will be returning at some point. And obviously, he has all our love and support until he returns. So moving forward with the show, like I said, this is episode 814, and you can obviously find us over at GamertagRadio.com. You can find us over at Audio Boom, where you can subscribe to our RSS feed. If you're watching right now, we're on Twitch, so twitch.tv/GamertagRadio. And of course, on your favorite RSS feed, captured Apple Podcasts, Google Play, like I always say, in television, Atari 7800, we're everywhere. If you like subscribing to podcasts on RSS feed, just search Gamertag Radio and you will find us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So as we go into the show this week, Pete, I want to say first and foremost, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. How was your holiday?
We did it a little different. We didn't do the traditional meal. You know, everybody usually does the big, you know, the big drive turkey and everything else. We went a little bit, we took a hard left turn at the kitchen. We went and did a beef Wellington. I guess the only traditional thing is we did the ham and the mashed potatoes. I did the mashed potatoes from scratch, like a whole stick of butter. It was amazing. And that was it. It was just me, the wife, and the kids, and the dogs. We just chilled. We didn't want to do anything nice, super special, just something low-key and just chilled. And then other than that, it was you know, my daughter wanted to do the Black Friday thing. She wanted to experience and see what that was all about. So, I mean, we didn't get up mad early or whatever. We just got up, you know, and took our time for Black Friday and went out, and she got to experience that.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we similar. We started the tradition last year where we just kept it very small with just our family, and we let the kids make all the sides. So they did a great job with that. My mother is actually in town for this Thanksgiving, so it was great having her with us. And yeah, we just kept it low key. Took my mom out Black Friday shopping, you know, let her go in the store, and I sat in the car for 2 hours. It was great. Because I am not going fighting through those crowds at all, but she wanted to do it, so that was good. So, yeah, we had a good holiday. And as we come off of that and get back into the gaming world, there's really not a lot going on, obviously, with the holidays. I know there were some great, you know, Black Friday deals, things of that nature, which we don't need to address here. But one thing, Pete, that has been trending over the past week or so in the gaming world is Fallout 76. We know you've been playing it on the PC. Like I had asked you the question point blank a couple weeks ago. Look, I haven't played it. I haven't touched it. So I can't have an informed opinion. I can only go by what I see people saying, you know, online. Mm-hmm. And since that time, you know, actual reviews have come out and it has been getting absolutely roasted across the internet right now with some very low review scores. It's already on sale. And I'm hearing just all the bugs and just the issues that Fallout 76 is having. But instead of me just coming on here and just uneducated going blah, 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 it sucks, it stinks, whatever, you have been playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear your opinion on Fallout 76. And is what everyone's saying, in your opinion, true?
I'm not going to say that what they're saying is wrong. And I don't know if that's an indictment on the title itself. Can you name me a Fallout that has come out that has succeeded out the gates without bugs or glitches or any issues?
Right. There isn't one. And, exactly. And I think that's a very fair thing to say. But again, coming from a point of ignorance, I think the difference now is you changed the Fallout formula, so to speak. And I think more than anything, that's what people seem to have an issue with. Because, yeah, all the Fallout games have had bugs in them, but they've, for the most part, been acceptable bugs, you know, coming from Bethesda. But it seems to be different this time. So I guess that's kind of my question.
Correct. It's always been a tolerable thing, right? You deal with them because everything else has been, you know, just, they, as Todd Howard likes to say, it just works. Unfortunately, as opposed to maybe Fallout 4, New Vegas, which I think you and I both agree is the de facto Fallout that you should play if you're gonna, if you want to try to experience this, that it's the best in the series. I think the best way to put it is it's Fallout 4, and I think my son told me this, it's Fallout 4 with all the good stuff taken out. Fallout in general has always been a phenomenal story-based experience. And in Fallout 76, there is no story. You're crafting your own story throughout the game. It is a lonely experience. And I have told people, even with as many hours as I have in the game right now, you know, streaming it or playing it on the side on my own, if you're playing this solo, you're, and this, again, this is me personally, I get bored. I don't see myself playing this game by myself for longer than maybe a half an hour to an hour. I just, the grindy version, the grindy component of Fallout 76 becomes a chore for me. And it's not fun. Now, you get me with, let's say, community members like I play with all the time, Beaker or Medic or people like that. I know, I think Undying Breed is another one. See you in 4 hours. Because we're having we're hooting and hollering, laughing, running around, doing things with each other, and it becomes enjoyable because you're doing things. But that's because you're doing things with other people. I don't know if maybe the game mechanic in and of itself is you know, it's required to have friends in the game. I know it's not a requirement for that, for you to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But in my personal opinion, and again, your mileage may vary, it's a co-op mandatory experience. It's you have so much more fun playing with friends that I'd rather not play it by myself. Like I've had time to myself all this week. But none of my friends have played 70, you know, Fallout 76, with the exception of my son. He plays all the time. He's actually on his second build right now. Him and I'll jump in every once in a while. I think I jumped in on Thanksgiving with him, and we started doing a run to farm XP and stuff like that. But you know, life happened, and it was like, okay, I didn't have that feeling of, oh, you know, I need to sit down and I need to farm and I need to grind for XP and I need to get to that next. I don't have that in this game. And call that an indictment on the title if you want to. It's not. It probably deserves and earned a lot of that, as you call, roasting from players and critics alike. This isn't the Fallout you know. And whether that's the direction that Bethesda wants to go with its flagship title, you know, good on you for experimenting and maybe, you know, tweaking and playing around and seeing what else you guys could do with the franchise. I just don't know or hope that this is the direction that Bethesda wants to take Fallout for the future.
I think when you look at 76, and Bethesda has said this, this was an experiment for them. I don't think this is what Fallout 5 is going to be. This was, hey, let's try something different, which I applaud doing something different, doing something out of the box with an IP that's typically been a solo single player experience and trying to bring it, you know, some co-op into it. But I was very skeptical when they first announced it because, you know, how was the VAT system going to work? There was a lot of things about it. I was wondering how was it going to work? How was it going to work with PvP, all of that. And it seems that, again, from the outside looking in, this time there was too much change and too many bugs that it just became unacceptable to the entire player base. And like I said, you see from the review scores, people are flat. Like, I think Giant Bomb, as an example, flat out just stopped playing it. They go, we're not investing any more hours into this game because it is a waste of our time. And we're telling everyone, do not buy this game. You're seeing that a lot where reviewers are saying, do not buy this game. You go on the Fallout Reddit right now, it is just absolute chaos going on because people are angry. People are very upset that they spent $60 on this game. And then, you know, even the people that bought like the deluxe editions and all that, they're like, we spent so much money on this game, you know, pre-ordering it or at launch, and a week later you've already discounted it by over 30%. It's like, it's that bad for them. And it's kind of unprecedented to see such a big AAA title and just known IP like Fallout crash and burn like this, you know, very early. Sure, they can eventually fix it, you know, obviously put in the time with the bugs and all that and get those squashed and make this a more acceptable experience. But let's be real here. The way the gaming community works now, the way with social media works now, everyone's already moved on. I don't see the numbers increasing for Fallout 76 as far as player base goes. If anything, they're going to decrease. And with so many other games out right now, it just, again, my personal opinion, why would you waste your time with a buggy game like this? And like you said yourself, you found things about it that you enjoy. You're playing with your son. And I understand that everyone has their personal preference. But it just seems like for the vast majority, the word of mouth on this is so poor. I don't see how they're going to be able to come out on the other side of this and salvage this thing. I just don't. This may truly be the first flop for Bethesda that we've seen, you know, in the quote unquote modern era of gaming.
Right.
And it is what it is. And I'll say this, and I'll be quiet about it. I, in a weird way, hope that this doesn't succeed in that Bethesda has gotten a pass for so long releasing buggy games that trend needs to end at this point. And maybe this will be the lesson that they need to learn, that I'm fine with them trying new things, trying different gameplay experiences, but the game crushing bug element of it has got to go. It has to across the board, because we're not accepting this from any other company except Bethesda because of their reputation.
So I know, and I think my personal issue with this is Bethesda's run, you know, their games run on a 10-year-old engine, right? They've had, I think, countless titles built off of this engine. I think this was a happy medium to appease their player base while they work on Rage 2, while they work on Starfield, while they work on Elder Scrolls 6, which we know is coming eventually, and whatever the future successor for Fallout is going to be. I think this is a happy medium for them to generate a little bit of cash, help line the coffers, help fund other projects that they're working on. Personally, I would like for them to work on a new engine. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe that's what we'll see for Starfield. Maybe that's what we'll see for Elder Scrolls 6. I don't see it happening for Rage 2. I don't think that's a title that drives engine development. I think Starfield could be that one. I'd like to see them not do Fallout 76 again. As much fun as I'm having with the game with friends, this is not your grandmother's Fallout experience. And if you're okay with that going in, hey, my son's sitting there with what he calls the virginity security device. He got the pre-order with the helmet, right? It's sitting on his dresser. like the excitement of him opening the box and putting it on his head and doing the dab with the helmet on, that died that first day. He hasn't touched it since. And like, hey, he's an adult. He can spend his own personal money. I didn't buy it for him. He can do that because that's his money and his time and his desire. But I just don't know if that pre-sale experience was worth it, especially not for what we got in general from this title. He's gotten his money's worth out of it. Thank you to Bethesda for sending us a preview code for it so we could play the game and review it and play it on stream. I'll continue to play it with friends as long as we all want to continue playing it and have fun. Do I see myself having the same amount of time sink into this as a PUBG? I don't think so. And I don't think I went into this with that expectation either. I didn't think I was going to have that kind of a time sink like I have with a game like that. But it could have. And I think that's the missing element. I think people are coming in with clutching that memory, that nostalgia of what Fallout is meant to them. And in general, it's been pretty much the same across the entire sphere, right? Everybody has that same experience, and that's what they were expecting for this. And yeah, there is disappointment. Can they fix it? I don't know. And like you said, if this is the experiment, this is just a placeholder for people to remember that they're still around. You know, I can see how, you know, it could function as that. It really looks, plays, and feels like a Fallout mod.
Yeah, and I'll say this. When Fallout 4 came out, bored me to tears. I was not having fun with that at all. And this just seems to be an extension of that experience, so much so that when they eventually do come out with Fallout 5, we need a complete overhaul at this point. Like you mentioned, that engine is over 10 years old. You know, everything with the bugs, just the way the gameplay works. I think it needs a complete overhaul when they do Fallout 5 and they just completely relaunch this IP and this brand. And I think it's going to take that type of Herculean effort because of the memory. People will remember this is going to be their lasting memory of Fallout until we get another Fallout. So they're going to have to do a lot of work, you know, to recapture, you know, market share and to just have goodwill within their own community. And like you said, I know they're working on the next Elder Scrolls and Rage and all that's about to come out, but Bethesda has work to do to rebuild their trust with the community. We've seen other instances of this over the past year or so with other, you know, companies and IPs as well. So I think this is now Bethesda's time where they need to, you know, kind of refocus and say, look, we screwed up, because they've been radio silent on this, which maybe because of the holidays is part of the reason. So I hope they do address their community and just admit we screwed up and we'll do better next time. I think it's really as simple as saying that, and that'll put some goodwill back into the community. So moving on from Fallout, I have to make a confession. But before I make that confession, let's take a break. We have an ad. Let's take a break. We're going to play an ad, and we'll be right back.
Hey, there's nothing better about the holiday season than unwrapping a brand new phone until you get hit with that brand new monthly bill. Big wireless providers can really suck the joy out of the holidays. So this year, don't just upgrade your phone, upgrade your wireless provider and switch to Mint Mobile. For a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering the best holiday deal in wireless you've ever seen. 3 months of service for only $20. And this is a limited time offer. Cool thing about it is you don't have to lose or get a new phone. You just swap out the SIM card, put it into your existing phone. You can even keep your old phone number along with all your existing contacts. Cool thing about Mint Mobile is for $20, you'll get 3 months of wireless service with 5 gigabytes of 4G LTE data each month with unlimited talk and text. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. So ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile today. Runs on the nation's fastest and most advanced LTE network. So take advantage today of this Mint Mobile holiday deal before it's gone. Get 3 months of wireless for $20 and get the plan shipped to your door for free by going to mintmobile.com/GTR. That's mintmobile.com/GTR.
I have a confession. I have no interest in Red Dead 2 right now. So much so, Pete, you're right all along. I'm just waiting on PC version. I'm officially tapping on caring about that game right now. And it isn't anything necessarily against the game itself. It's, I have such a back catalog of stuff that I'm trying to play right now that I don't need to invest the time into Red Dead anytime soon. And I'm going to be just blunt about it. Going into 2019, I have more interest in playing Metro Exodus and playing The Division 2 than I do sinking time into Red Dead. So much so, and I know Red Dead Online's coming out, and I'm sure people crashing their cars hearing me say all this. It's nothing against the game. It's just there's so many other games that I want to play and I want to experience. I kind of almost feel like I know what the Red Dead experience is going to be, just as far as the open world genre goes, that I'm good. I can wait. I don't have an urge. I don't have that that pull that says I need to go play Red Dead right now. I even have, because I was given some GameStop store credit and I didn't know what to do with it. I wound up just buying like $50 in a Xbox gift card because I was like, oh, I'll just use that for Red Dead. Now, I don't think I am. I just think I'm going to wait. And like I said, I still got to play Spider-Man, which is so ridiculous. And I want to finish Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That, and plus I'm still fully vested, you know, like in Destiny 2, stuff like that. And obviously they got new content coming out. I'm just not going to have time. Plus I want to play some more Battlefield 5. I want to do Blackout. I mean, it's like the list goes on and on. I am occupied enough. I haven't played enough Witcher Tales. There's like so many games that I still need to play. And then, like I said, by the time we get to late February, I got Metro Exodus is coming out. Anthem's going to be out. Then the Division 2 is going to be out in March. Just like, why am I forcing myself to play a game that I know everyone likes? They say it has a great story and all that, but it isn't pulling me in the way that I think it does other people. I can wait on the PC version. So I'll wait. I'm not going to make the mistake I did with Grand Theft Auto 5 and buy that damn game like 3 times. I'll wait. So you win. You're right.
The resignation from your voice that I was right. I think that's better than anything else. I feel the same way. I have no, and maybe that's because, you know, I think I've watched enough of this of Let's Plays on Twitch and YouTube of people playing the game that I kind of feel that I've already kind of played a game. And maybe that's part of our society now, right? We have that ability to watch other people play the game, so we don't have to. And it kind of gives us that sensation of playing the game without actually, you know, sinking time into it. I still want to play the game, but like you said, it doesn't have that pull, that allure, like for me, Spider-Man did. I went all in on Spider-Man. You know, I have New Game Plus as a reason for it, right? Because I went and I went through the whole game. Honestly, I'm going out on a limb here, and I don't care the backlash. You could at me, Pete Rock, on Twitter. Do whatever you say, whatever you want. I liked Spider-Man better than God of War. For me personally, Spider-Man is right now my game of the year because I've had that much more enjoyment out of it.
I'm glad you said that because obviously the Game Awards, they've announced their nominees for everything for Game of the Year. So look, we're not, matter of fact, you know, I could go to the show, but it's my wife's, it's her holiday party and all that. I'll get freaking skewered if I try to bail on it at this point. So I can't go, but, shout out to some other people I know that are going. So have fun at the Game Awards. It's funny. You look at that list of games. And again, I haven't played Spider-Man, so I can't denounce what you're saying. But I think it easily could be Game of the Year. But for me, it's God of War. I just, that story and just the world that they set up with God of War, it was such a breath of fresh air for that IP and that series. I just don't know what's better than that in 2018. But again, haven't played Red Dead, haven't played Spider-Man, and that indie game, what's that indie game's name?
Celeste.
Starts with this. Haven't played that either. I hear amazing things about that. But yeah, I think this will be a great year because there will be a lot of differing opinions on what people consider game of the year, which is great. Like, there isn't just that solid, you know, no doubt game of the year, there, which goes back to my point I was making on why I'm waiting on Red Dead. There's just so many options out there for things to play. There's games that didn't even make the flipping list, and I'm like, yeah, I could see that being game of the year too. I was actually happy to see that Assassin's Creed Odyssey made that list because as skeptical as I was here, here's another Paris was wrong moment. As skeptical as I was of that game, why the hell is they doing this? Like, remember I played at E3 and I'm like, I don't know, man. I just played Origins. Why the hell am I playing another Assassin's Creed? God darn it. It's a great freaking game. Mm-hmm. It is. It is a great open world game, you know, great character that you can follow, female, you know, is it protagonist? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yes.
You know, I'm from the South. I try to use big words. I got to make sure I'm saying them right. So female protagonist, and it's great. It's a great game. And that's, again, another thing. I need to just reinvest more time into that so I can finish that, which is going to be a 60, 70 hour experience for me, you know? So that's great that you played Spider-Man and God of War and you feel Spider-Man pulled you in more. That's great. That's exciting for me because now I can go play Spider-Man and I can make that determination. Which one do I think is better? You know, because goddamn if God of War wasn't great. Best game I've played so far this year, easily.
Yeah. Echoing that Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and similar to how we talked about how 76 fell on its face of, you know, in respects to the franchise in general, Odyssey is the reverse. They experimented with a departure of what a traditional Assassin's Creed title does. And it started that with Origins, but it continued on that experimentation of stepping away from the traditional Assassin's Creed type gameplay and going into more of an RPG style of gameplay where you have more open options, and it worked. Much to the chagrin of us, because we thought that, oh, it's too soon. But shout out to Ubisoft, you know, for experimenting and getting it right. And yeah, we were wrong on that. Shout out to Matt Makes Games. They're the ones that made Celeste. I know Celeste made a big stink at the beginning of the year when it first came out, and a lot of people have really stepped up to play that game. And hey, I won't lie, this selection of games for the Game Awards, the Game of the Year, is a pretty spot on chunk of games, with the exception of Monster Hunter World, but that's me personally. So I just don't think that game is Game of the Year worthy, but that's my personal opinion. At me.
Yeah, and again, it's personal preference, but I can understand why Monster Hunter made the list. And, you know, it came out early 2018, so I know a lot of people have kind of forgotten about it, you know, because there's just been so many other heavy-hitting games coming out the rest of the year. But, you know, when you look at an overall list, I feel like when I look at the Game of the Year list that they have, there's something there for everyone, you know, and that I can see there's going to be distinct audiences that look at that and go, that's my Game of the Year. And then whatever winds up winning, they're going to be mad and go, that shouldn't, because my game should have, because I had a great time with it. So I'm really looking forward to the Game Awards this year, because I feel like it's almost where it needs to be to where we can, like, when I saw it got announced, I actually got excited about it, because I'm starting to have that feel like this is truly becoming that award show and that celebration of our industry that we can be proud of and not cringe because it's super cheesy and they're putting celebrities out there that we, you know, that are only there to pick up a paycheck or because their PR handlers force them to go, where we're getting a genuine show that actually celebrates the gaming industry. And, you know, like I said, when that Game of the Year announcement comes, it's going to be polarizing for some people, but that's great because that's what we need. I don't ever want there to be a clear-cut Game of the Year contender or winner, I should say, for a year. I want to see such diversity in games that there's always going to be a debate about it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and like I said, I can sit here and say God of War, but maybe I play Spider-Man or Red Dead and it completely changes my mind. you know, but because I just haven't played them all yet. Yep. And then that's not even to say, like I said, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I have played. Yeah, I think God of War is better, but it's still a damn good game. Yes, it is worth investing the time into. So that's it's just great. It, overall, it's just a great thing. So I you know, I kind of derailed it into the Game Award stuff. We were originally talking about Red Dead and all that. But anything else you want to bring on that before we move on?
I do want to do a co-stream. I know you're going to be busy. I know Danny's out. I still think that I want to do, I'm going to try to do a co-stream of the Game Awards.
Yeah, absolutely.
So those that are watching on Twitch, you know, feel free to stop by. I think it's December 6th. I don't know the time, even though I'm on the actual website right now. but yeah, I will be here. I will be co-streaming it on Twitch. We have some extensions on the site, similar to last year. So we can do some, you know, anticipatory votes and see who can guess it correctly. And, we'll go from there. I'm enjoying it and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Should be good. And I believe it's 5 PM Pacific. I want to say that's when it starts, but excuse me. I'm sure we'll have more information, you know, as we move forward here and, you know, check us out on our Discord channel. Yep. We'll definitely have information there as well. So, like I said, wanted to move forward. I know, Pete, you had a review of a gaming chair that you wanted to do. So, if you want to go ahead and set that up right now.
Sure. We'll do it. And, we'll do it live. First,
all right. Live. I can ask questions. Yes. This is great.
This is great. First and foremost, thanks to the good folks over at Noble Chair. Several months ago, shortly after E3, they sent me this beautiful chair that I'm sitting on. To do a review. So I want to base my opinion on the chair, kind of against other gaming chairs or other chair types that I've personally sat in, or used over the years. Your mileage may vary. And I know I tend to say that a lot, but you know, that because it's a subjective review, it's based on my personal opinion. I know there's been some negativity towards chair reviews in the past, because, you know, they're expensive and people feel that they're buying reviews. So I'm going to try to keep this as objective. But again, at the end of the day, it's my personal review based on my experience with this chair. That being said, gaming chairs traditionally aren't also perfect for long-standing periods of time. I work from home, and so I'm in this chair, I'd say maybe 10 plus hours a day, you know, maybe 4 or 5 days a week, if not more than that. And I have to say, as much time as I plant my butt in this chair, it's still comfortable whether it's hour 12 or it's hour 1. They make two different types of chairs, and actually a third, but that's more specialty. There's the polyurethane, or PU, which is a faux leather, or the real leather version. The PU, or the polyurethane version, it's like 1.5 millimeter thick, and that's actually the one that they sent me. A lot of people tend to say that, you know, polyurethane or fake leather or the real leather, these chairs would be, you know, somewhat hot, or would try and retain a lot of the body heat that sits there, that generates, and it kind of traps it. This one actually doesn't. And again, I have an AC vent that's right above me. I've got a fan on the roof that, you know, kind of spins. So maybe I don't feel it as much, but this is done. You know, this chair has been a really good way of just sucking the heat away from my body and not having to worry about it. Traditional chair controls, it's got, you know, the backrest that reclines, allows me to go almost fully supine. The backrest actually follows the natural curvature of the back, which is a little bit different from other chairs that I've had. Some of them have the traditional flat back. Some have a kind of like a back, you know, a curvature to it. This one actually follows the curvature of the spine, and it has a rotary dial in the back that allows you to adjust the lumbar controls, similar to like if you're in a car. That's one of the things that they mentioned when I spoke to them back at E3. Is that they designed their chairs to fit more like a car seat. And that's basically where they got their idea from. The arms on the side are, you know, traditional, same thing as most other gaming chairs, height adjustable. They go side to side, forward to back, depending on how you want to sit. The only complaint I would say I have with it is that they don't swivel out. Some game chairs, I know my previous game chair allowed me to swivel out the fronts. So if I'm, you know, if I'm, I sit and play my guitar on this all the time, and it's kind of difficult to do so sitting back in the chair because I've got these armrests right here on this side. So if that would be one of my complaints, I'd ask for them to be able to swivel those out so that I can sit in my chair. You know, maybe a larger person may want to have that as well, to be able to sit inside the chair without having in, you know, having to crunch in. I mentioned, you know, for bigger folks, this chair is specified for folks up to 330 pounds. I am not 330 pounds, but it will be able to support larger folks. Actually, I've got a friend of mine, Brad, who has broken, you know, three chairs at work. So, Brad, this chair's for you. you can get it most anywhere. I know they've got it on Newegg, on Amazon. Depending on the material, the price will vary. I know this one retails for about $380 on Amazon. If you wanted to go and ball out with the real leather one, you're going to be spending closer to about $650. Other than that, like I said, I sit in this chair probably 10 plus hours a day, 5 days a week, sometimes longer if I'm here on the weekends and sitting in my office. And I used to complain of a really, really, you know, of like back pain or shoulder pain right behind my shoulder because of the way I sat in my older chairs. But this one has really, really helped me with my back pain. I'm not going to say I'm completely pain-free, but I am relatively pain-free as a result of sitting in this chair. And again, your mileage may vary, but if you're in the market for a gaming chair, I would highly recommend this one. Not simply because they sent this to me, but because of the comfort and all of the other factors that I just mentioned about. You also get two cool little pillows, one for your lower lumbar and one for the back of the headrest. So if you're looking for a phenomenal chair to sit in, whether it's for you or if it's for your coworker, whomever, and they're looking for it, Noble Chair is the place to go. Also, if they're looking for something that's compatible for the office, these chairs are office compatible. Not just because of their appearance, they're designed for use in the office. So they're a great ergonomic chair, whether you're looking for a gaming chair or something for the office.
Well, Pete, first and foremost, let me say, fantastic review. I couldn't even get a word in. I was like, he's just going. I'm just going to be quiet this whole time. But no, this sounds amazing. It really does. And I've never been one of those people that, look, if you're watching this on Twitch, you can see the old crappy freaking chair I'm sitting in right now. But what you're explaining and describing with this chair and just the comfort and all the features that they've built in, it mm-hmm. definitely sounds like for people like ourselves who, you know, we're constantly, you know, even just in an office environment, forget gaming for a second, constantly sitting in front of a computer screen, that extra comfort and just that back support that it provides is something I would definitely take advantage of. And then again, from the gaming standpoint of it, just the hours that we're going to be sitting here in front of a monitor playing games, be it on stream or even offline, definitely sounds like this chair is something to take advantage of. Look, Hey, Noble, you see me? You see this chair I got right here? Help a brother out. My back hurt too. No, but the price on it is very reasonable as well. I really need to look into this and potentially invest in my own gaming chair. So, again, it's Noble Chairs, right?
Yeah, Noble Chairs.
And what's their URL?
I should look this up, right?
We're doing it live.
It is noblechairs.com. Again, this is the Hero. A great sign that this is a good chair, a comfortable chair to be in. I fall asleep in this thing regularly, right? So I got the itis yesterday after dinner. Got home. My daughter was in here playing a game on the PlayStation, and I forgot what I was doing. I think I was watching a football game on my computer. And I literally sat here like, I just nodded out in the chair in the exact same position I'm in right now. And I woke up like 10 minutes later. My daughter looks over and she's like, good nap. I was like, oh yeah, really good nap. I didn't have to recline it or anything. I was just out.
Oh, well, that's the last thing I need, because if people have been following me on social media the past week or so, I've been catching itis all over the place. Yeah. Just, and my family's just been taking pictures of me asleep on the couch. Oh, it's been freaking hilarious. But no, that's great. And like I said, I definitely need to look into investing into my own chair, and great review, Pete. So before we move on here, apologies if I sound weird or whatever, but I am battling a cold right now. Of course, I get it during the holidays, so I apologize for that. But like I said, this has been a very light gaming week. There's just not much going on. So one last thing I want to bring up before we get out of here, and this actually goes back to something that happened before the holiday, it's PlayStation. PlayStation leaving E3 2019 and what that exactly means. I actually have... I talked to Khalif from Spawn on Me. Him and I hopped on Twitch before the holiday and probably talked about this for about 45 minutes. So I won't repeat too much of what I've already said. I'm actually more curious to hear what you have to say, Pete. So what are your thoughts on PlayStation leaving E3? Do you think this is a temporary thing? Do you think this is a permanent thing? What does it mean to the future for you?
I know you and I were chatting about this. Basically, you know, we briefly chatted about it yesterday when I made mention of a certain friend leaving the ESA, and it almost seems like an indictment on E3 in general. You, in particular, have mentioned over the last couple of years that it's on its way out, right? It's the dinosaur, just because of the way the industry has moved forward, right? These large scale conventions really don't fit the mold anymore, right? We're at this point now where if we can just get our information out via, I mean, we've done it for several press conferences at E3 now for the last couple of years. We don't need to sit in a large auditorium. It almost seems like a waste of money. Like, as beautiful and as well produced as the Sony PlayStation conference was at E3 last year, that was a colossal waste of money, right? I mean, shout out to, hey, that food was great, right? But did we need those large, grandiose experiences? Or could those have been done better or pushed across? I mean, seeing gameplay for the first time of The Last of Us 2 was really cool. You know, seeing, you know, being in a mock-up of the barn where they're doing the dance, that was kind of cool. But to be honest, standing where we were standing, watching this and having to keep moving back and keep moving back because they kept crowding the room, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm going to agree with you and say that yes, I think it's time that E3 either readdresses the way we do things. Maybe can they bring E3 to the future? Like, is there a way of doing it so that they don't have to shut E3 as a conference or a convention in general? Can they do it better? Maybe we need panels. Maybe they need to see it more as the way TwitchCon handles it. If they're going to start bringing people in, make it more of a large scale conference or a convention. That means take it out of LA. I don't think LA is the right venue for that. Maybe start looking at the way TwitchCon has done things, and not to say that TwitchCon has been, TwitchCon was perfectly done, but maybe start tailoring it more towards the consumer the way that they've been doing it, or look at the way Gamescom is doing it. But we see in it with E3 or with EA leaving. Now Sony is leaving. Microsoft kind of left because they were on their own studio off lot. Nintendo doesn't always appear. if that's the case, if you can't get the big three to show up or at least commit to it, are we going to see E3 go the way of Santa Monica, the way it did, you know, a while back, where everything was offsite?
My personal opinion, and like I said, I said this when I was streaming with Khalif, I don't think there's anything they can really do at this point, because the bottom line is these companies can own the news cycle doing their own events. And like I said, past few years, Sony's been doing PlayStation Experience. All it takes them to decide is, you know what? We want to do all our news there at our event for our fans. We own the news cycle. All the media is going to be there anywhere. Anyways, there's no rule that says we have to announce everything in June. We can do whatever the hell we want. And that's basically what they're doing. PlayStation Experience is not going to be around this year. That's fine. They don't have anything to really talk about. But they come back in late 2019. They tease the PlayStation 5. They have a bunch of announcements and a, you know, new IPs. There's so much they can do in a big celebration. The entire media is going to be there. They will own that news cycle, the 24-hour news cycle, to themselves without any competition of the noise of E3. And then they move forward with that, go into 2020, do their whole reveal. Maybe they come back to E3 at that point. I personally think no, because why? I don't see any reason for Sony to ever come back to E3 in any meaningful with any meaningful presence. And like you were saying, with them doing the panels and all that, potentially changing E3, my counter to that is, why? Why even waste the time? You already have TwitchCon. You already have PAX. You already have Gamescom. You already have these other shows that are doing it better anyways. What E3 was originally designed for is no longer relevant in the current digital age and the way that social media works, and the fact that these companies can potentially save money by doing their own events and doing it their way. Like you said, Microsoft ain't even in the damn convention center anymore. They're across the street at their theater. And it was a way better experience last year with them doing it outside the convention center. And this is nothing against the public being able to see any of this stuff, but it's freaking exhausting and chaotic with the public in that LA convention center. It just is. So I have no desire to experience that again. You know, PAX, Comic-Con, TwitchCon, these are events for the public. E3 is not meant to be that. So yeah, EA's gone. They're never coming back. Sony's gone. I'm just, in my opinion, they're not coming back. And it's just a matter of time until Nintendo follows suit. And then Xbox just decides, well, why are we going to LA? We'll just do our own thing in said city, make it a fan fest thing, make it XO, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're out too. E3 is going away. I know people hate hearing that, and people mad at me on Twitter when I say that, but it is. I've been saying it for the past few years. Look at the people that are leaving the ESA at this point. Why do we think that this show is going to continue past 2020 as an example? E3's on life support. They're continually trying to find ways to keep it relevant, and I just don't see it surviving. But that's me. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to break the fourth wall. I know somebody in our chat is asking, could they stream it? Do you think that's a viable way of providing a form of life support to E3?
Sure, they could stream it, but technically they already do.
Right.
You know, anything of relevance is already being streamed out of E3. All the press conferences are streamed. Excuse me, Xbox, PlayStation, Bethesda, etc. They all do their quote unquote big stage shows where they, you know, like let's say an IGN or whoever, they get all the big developers to come up and sit down with them and do interviews and all that. So the question I ask again, why does Sony need to go to the LA Convention Center to do that when they could do the same damn thing at PlayStation Experience? And all those same IGN still going to be there. All of their developers that they care about are going to be there. It can still be streamed. There's no point to going. I just don't see it. Please, someone out there convince me that there is. And I'm not trying to be negative Nancy about it. I'm just being realistic about it. Hell, I've been going to this show since 2001. I've seen it at its peak. I've seen it at its lowest. And I'm telling you, we're cycling back to it getting back to being its lowest again.
So I'm
just not seeing the relevance of the show.
So the question is now, you know, Nintendo has their directs, their Treehouse directs. Sony has the PlayStation Experience. Microsoft is starting to split off and do their XO events again.
Yeah.
Is it worth it or viable enough then to become, for E3 to become just a third party convention? Does it make sense? I mean, well, EA's already left. You know, they're the big fish. Does it make sense for groups like 2K, groups like Ubisoft, groups like Activision, to maybe shave it down so that we're not in the North and South Halls? Now we're just in the South Hall. We're just in the North Hall, you know, with Bethesda doing their booths, It doesn't have to be as large and grandiose because you don't have the big three. Is it viable? Is it valuable to the industry in general then?
Okay, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Is the public still going?
I think they would have to.
Okay. Let's pause there. So let's just say they condense it down to West Hall. It's just everything's in West Hall, right? The public's still going. Shoot me now. Just take me out. Take me out back and shoot me. I'm done. There's no way you're going to have the public and the media all crammed into West Hall. Just put me out of my misery now, please. Please, no, that does not work for me. No. And let me ask you this question. From our perspective of a getting things done perspective, when do we get the most things done at E3?
Honestly, the last 2 years, we've been able to do a lot of our stuff pre.
Yeah. Again, not even in the convention center. We do more work before E3 even starts than we do on... Name me the last time you got anything relevant done on that convention center floor.
Hey, we got this great relationship with Noble Chairs.
Okay.
That was on the show floor. That.
But you know what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. Whenever we get a good interview or anything, it's never on the show floor. It's in a meeting room somewhere. It's off-site.
True.
So I say again... Even from our point of view, and we're small fries in this, we're not IGN or anyone big like that. You know, we're tiny fish in a giant pond. It's not even relevant for us to get work done on that convention center floor, especially now that they've added the public to it. So let's condense all those people into one hall. No, I personally, Pete, I'll be at home, and I live here, and I ain't going. I'm just telling you, y'all want to fly out here and go to that? Have fun. I'll be at home watching because I'm not doing that. No way. No freaking way. I'll do the pre-E3 stuff and then I'm out. That's pretty much my thoughts on E3. And it's a shame because trust me, I love the fact that it's a time of the year that all of us can get together and, you know, we get to see old friends. We get to make new ones and all that. But think about it. I'm thinking of it from a selfish personal standpoint. I'm not thinking of it from a let's get work done standpoint. I find it. We can get more, we can use our time more wisely during that show before it starts and after it starts, but never actually during the show itself is what I find the last few years. So I don't know. I just think other than an excuse to get together with our friends, I'm not really seeing the reason to go. And I keep saying it over and over. So I'm going to stop saying that.
Right. Well, again, breaking the fourth wall, Blazing in the chat just mentioned maybe do a 2-2 split. 2 days for media, 2 days for public. I don't know. I'm trying to provide a counterpoint, but it almost feels...
No. I know you are. But we're literally trying to hold on to something that we don't need to hold on to. And I think that's what it is. We know the nostalgia of it. We understand it's relevant, you know, 5 years ago even. But as we 2018, as we roll into 2020 and these new consoles come out and just the way the world works, we're more connected now than ever. I don't have to physically be sitting in that show to be able to cover that show. Right. That's where we are, you know, and in the look, we've gotten great things out of E3. We've made great relationships and had amazing interviews. You know, it's not that. It's not that I don't want that to continue. I'm looking at it from a business standpoint, and I asked the question, and I'm just pulling a random number. Why is Sony investing $5 million into that show when they could take that same $5 million and invest it somewhere else and do their own thing, probably for cheaper? It's really that simple. Well, what's their need to be at that show?
They're spending double. They're spending 10 because they're doing 5 on PlayStation Experience and 5 on E3. So
yeah, and that's kind of my point. Do it one time and save. You know, so again, forget the personal thing and all the memories and all that. Excuse me.
Sony Ninja's got you, bro.
The sickness is getting me. Yeah. But look at it from a business standpoint. Return on investment. It's slowly becoming less and less for these companies to have their ROI with E3 when they can simply do it themselves. But I do agree with you, Pete. for the smaller studios, for the smaller publishers, like a Devolver as an example. I understand why they're there every year across the street and they do what they do, you know, because at least they're getting eyeballs on their titles. So I would like to see something continue where indie games and from smaller publishers are still being highlighted. But even let's take a Ubisoft as an example. Does Ubisoft really need E3? I would say no. Does 2K really need E3? I would say no. EA has already told you, no, we don't need E3. We do our own thing. So even from a big third-party publisher standpoint, Activision, again, another example, do they really need it? Not so much. So when you look at it that way, I'm not even sure that a third-party only E3 is necessarily viable. I just don't think so. But I do think, like I said, for the smaller developers and smaller publishers, maybe there's just a bigger emphasis on things like PAX and TwitchCon and all that, and they use that to get their message out instead of just social media. So just my opinion. I don't know nothing, just what I think. I'm a cranky old man with the itis.
I agree. I would hate to see, because we would never know about companies like CDPR or so on and so forth if it wasn't for larger events. Yes. Like this that gave them the opportunity to shine so that they can become top-tier developers like CDPR, right? Because you never know until you find it, you know? So you find that small gem, and next thing you know, you've got a monster hit as a result of the exposure that they got from an E3 or what have you. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of reassessment going on right now, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in 2019 and beyond. I mean, they said that 2019 is going to be the last one at LA in LA. Is that what they said? I thought I read that, something like that.
I don't think that's confirmed, but I mean, we'll see. I guess we'll see what happens. Like you said, 2019 and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this as we wrap this up. I'm sure some of our industry friends, I'll leave it at that, that if they watch this or they listen to this, are probably screaming at me right now going, you know nothing, Jon Snow. There's a whole other layer to all of this. So, you know, but I get it. I understand that there's going to be certain people that still see the relevance in it, and I'm just not one of those people, but that's fine. So any last thing on this, and we'll go ahead and get out of here.
No, that's it. That's it. It was a good show. Good show.
Yeah, good show. Good show. Again, I'll play the feedback thing right now.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
See, I'm editing, so I can do whatever I want. I'm breaking the fifth wall. I do whatever I want right now. But good show, Pete. Really appreciate it. It's so funny. I'm always, oh, man, we don't really have anything to say, and we've pretty much gone an hour, so this is great. But again, just if you want to subscribe, you can find us over at Apple Podcasts, you know, Google Play, whatever your favorite RSS feature is to listen to audio podcasts. You can find us. Spotify obviously is another big one for us. And again, everyone that's been hanging out with us on Twitch, thank you. Pete, I know you have really been championing this. You know, went to TwitchCon. You want to get better at this. We want to grow this audience here on Twitch, which is great. I need to, again, I'm talking about all these damn games I need to play. I need to start doing them on stream more and being a little more interactive myself. You know, I know we got some other things coming up here, some projects coming up in the next few weeks that we'll be attending. I just invested into a DJI Osmo Mobile 2. I want to start doing some more vlogging stuff. Just we want to be in front of the camera more. That is definitely a big push for us as we go into 2019. I blew the dust off of my YouTube channel. I will have more content coming to that soon as well. So it's a great time. Look, Danny's not with us right now. He will be back. Don't get that twisted. He is handling personal issues right now. And, you know, like I said, if you see him online, social media, just reach out to him. Let him know you care. Let him know you love him, all that. But he will be back in a few weeks. We're just holding it down until he is back. And once he's back, you know, Voltron will form once again and we'll move forward, you know, as a team. but we're doing what we need to do right now. GTR is not going away. We're still doing the shows as scheduled. Nothing's changing other than Danny will not be here for a few weeks. So I don't know, Pete, if there's anything you want to add to that.
I did just get a review for Hitman 2. So I will be trying to blow, as you so-called it, blow the dust off the Xbox One S here and be playing that. So I want to do the review. I don't know if I want to do it online with a Let's Play because I'm typically horrible at games like that. That might even be a good thing.
I think that would be a good thing.
Just better. To see me fail 27 times on a particular thing and give up and not play the game. No, I probably should. That means I don't have to connect the, I have to reconnect the Elgato. So that's fine. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that next week. That's about it. That's all I really got.
Sweet. Well, I will end this with, and shout out Danny because I love you, Destiny Talk Radio, really quick, and just simply say that they're going into Season 5. That Black Armory DLC that comes with the annual pass is dropping first week of December, I believe. But as Destiny 2 transitions into Season 5, one thing that actually has me excited, and this cold is killing me, I'm going to get this out of here as quickly as I can. They're going to have 3 new pinnacle weapons to chase. One's going to be through the Vanguard, so to running various strikes and just things you can do in that quest line. Another weapon, so it's going to be a fusion rifle you can get through the Vanguard. There's going to be a grenade launcher that you can chase through the Crucible, so that's going to be a pinnacle weapon for that. And Gambit is also getting its own pinnacle weapon with the auto rifle. So just that alone has me excited because I will probably chase all 3 of them. And I'm really looking forward to that. And just for me, that's kind of that little secret sauce of Destiny is, you know, give me things to chase, give me things to do beyond the power level and the raids and all that. It's like just something that I can do that doesn't affect the overall scope of the game, but it gives me that little carrot to keep engaging in the game and to keep playing. Like a matter of fact, the other day I'm playing Gambit and I finally got the stupid meatball to spawn, and I even put the little I shared the video online because I legit got excited. I was, oh my god, it's the meatball, and I got giddy. And now I got the Malfeasance quest that I can do, and it's just all the little things that are in the game right now, which in my personal opinion has Destiny 2, this is probably the best the game has ever been. It really is, which is amazing because we were not saying that a year ago.
No.
And they've come a long way with the game, and this Black Armory DLC will really tell the tale if they're going to keep that momentum going. I mean, and again, I know when the news cycle came out, you know, Destiny 2, Activision's not happy with the sales and all that, but like I said previously, you can't expect the community to immediately just fall in love with you all over again. You have to earn our trust again. Sure, I'm one of those people that you already got me, but I don't count. It's the Pete's of the world that they need to reconvince to say, hey, come play our game again. And it's going to take a lot. So yeah. I'm not going to make this too much Destiny Talk Radio. Just wanted to throw that out. Obviously, when Black Armory info comes out, we'll talk about that more in the future. But it's still a game that I'm investing into for the long term, and that makes me happy. That's all I got. All right. Anything else, Pete?
No, that's it. That's it.
All right. Well, then, this has been episode 814 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. And we will see you guys soon.